Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. Glad to have you here. This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. A great show this weekend, and we'll tell you a little bit about our special guest, John Montgomery, here in just a moment. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets Productions, which means we're in the big leagues here. We have a very special guest out of California, Culver City, California. John Montgomery, Executive Creative Director of Threshold Interactive. John is partner and Executive Creative Director of Threshold. It's an award-winning digital marketing agency. John leads both the creative and client teams in such high-profile brands as Nestle, Butterfinger, Baby Ruth, Harris, Fox, Disney Interactive, Starz Media, Paramount Farms, Sunkist Pistachios. Well, those are good for you. And Sony Television Worldwide. So we'll talk more about what John does and about what Threshold Interactive is all about. Also, as we do every week, we've got a couple of great segments to add to that. In just a few moments, Gene Bliss, the customer experience. This is a thing about trusting your customer. She's going to talk about a bike company and if you've ever been anywhere that you are mistrusted when you go in and mistrusted when you go out. For instance, the Guitar Center is one that absolutely aggravates me. They basically frisk you just short of a colonoscopy before you get you're allowed out the door there. Obviously, there's a lot of theft. But what Gene is saying as far as trusting your customer is understand that you don't need to take a driver's license if you want to build a good relationship with your clients and such. This is a bike dealership. They'll give somebody a test drive, and they won't put them through the 10 degrees. Shamin Abbas is with us later on this hour, and it's managing gossip online is what she's going to talk about. That could quickly get out of hand, couldn't it? So a lot of good stuff here at the Advertising Show. By the way, this is kind of funny. This is from the Associated Press out of Milwaukee. It says, watch an advertisement on a video screen in a mall, on a health club, or in a grocery store, and there is a slim but growing chance that the ad is watching you. Small cameras now being embedded in the screen or hidden around it, tracking who looks at the screen and for how long. That could be embarrassing. The makers of the tracking system say the software can determine the viewer's gender, well, obviously, unless you're weird, approximate age range, and in some cases, ethnicity, okay, and it can change the ads accordingly. Is that funny or what? That could mean razor ads for men, cosmetic ads for women, and video game ads for teens. So who knows what's looking at you when you go to the supermarket? That's kind of strange, actually.
It could be weird. You know, you walk down one aisle, and they start pitching on feminine napkins, and you start thinking, well, wait a minute, am I walking funny or what?
I
got to
get my hair cut. You know, it's just a little bit out of sort there. So what do you have there?
Well, you know, it's not like Oprah needs another company, but apparently she thinks she does. And September 06, Tom Freston fell off the face of the earth, as we all recall, when he was fired by CEO of Viacom. Freston, one who built, of course, MTV and Nickelodeon, two of the most widely distributed cable networks on the planet. Now he's resurfaced, Ray, with plans to help Oprah start a new TV network. Last June, he signed on as a consultant to Winfrey, a role that understates his deep involvement with the creation of OWN, that's OWN as in the Oprah Winfrey Network, the new cable network, all about the Oprah ethic and living a meaningful life style, is supposed to be launching with at least 70 million homes in early 2010. Now, I don't know about you, Ray, but I think Oprah's got enough money. She needs to go relax, sit on the couch for a while, and count her dough.
Sit on the couch for
she
a while.
She doesn't need a network.
Well, yeah, she's got a lot going for her. But there again, isn't it important to strike while the iron is hot, so to speak? So take all you can get, I guess. I don't know. You're probably right, though. It would be good for her to take a break. It's fine. Slow down. You're quite popular these days. Gene Bliss, you got to listen to this story. Trust your customers here on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to the Customer Experience.
making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Do one thing to trust your customers. For example, Zane Cycles in Connecticut is one of the top three largest bicycle stores in the United States. And on any day at Zane's, you might see a $6,000 bike going out the door for a test drive to a potential customer that no one at Zane's has ever seen before. Do you want my license? The customer asks. Nope. Just have a good ride is the reply at Zane's. Zane's does not ask for customer collateral on those test drives. They've made this decision for customers, but also for their staff. This is not about protecting ourselves, owner Chris Zane says. We're in the people business, not the thing business. This decision helps our staff be able to embrace that, and it gives customers confidence and a lasting impression that they have found a good place to do business. Find one simple thing you can suspend your cynicism about customers over and drop it. Employees will notice and emulate the action, and customers will feel the difference.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Jean Bliss, on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. John Montgomery with us here momentarily, Executive Creative Director, Threshold Interactive. There's an article a few weeks ago here. It's from Ad Age, and it says, most marketers looking to get their messages out by using NBC's popular morning news program today figure they'll need to spend tens of thousands of dollars for a 30-second spot, which they would. But there's what they're saying, Taylor LaRoche and her pals were able to snag much more than that for free, unpaid placement rather than buying spots. Many just hold up signs. Have you seen that? As they walk around with Al and everybody, and they got those little, they're wearing the T-shirts or the hats, or they've got the signs up. So, you know, that is so true. That even going back to what was the first host of the Today Show? Garraway? Is that what it is? Dave Garraway, I guess it was.
Yeah, right.
And, they were doing it back then. They were looking in the window and holding up signs and doing stuff as well. So, yeah, talk about free product placement for your brand or for your, favorite charity. What a great place. And I gotta tell you, it's really embarrassing sometimes too to see, how you've got a serious interview going on and right behind the set you see some guy walk by, realize he's on camera and go wave or something, and it looks kind of dumb actually. But anyway, John Montgomery. Let me do this real quick. His career, he started youth marketing, product design with the apparel industry. He designed for clothing collections and created marketing campaigns for things like Rampage, Doc Martens, Hot Topic, and Tempo, and Epoch. Is it Epoch or Poch? I don't know.
Epoch,
okay. So, then John grew up, and he became the Executive Creative Director at Threshold Interactive. So, out of L.A., we'll talk to John here in just a moment. On The Advertising Show, being powered by Shipple. Shipple.com is the place. It's a program called Tendency, and it's an incredibly strong marketing platform. Check it out at Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Welcome back, and as promised here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe, it's our special guest out of Culver City, California. John Montgomery, the executive creative director of Threshold International, thresholdinteractive.com is the website. Hey, John, it is so good to have you here. Welcome to the Advertising Show.
Thanks. It's great to be here as well. Good to spend some time with you guys.
Yeah, well, now we're honored to have you, John. And by the way, we were speaking off the air about Michael Phelps and his challenges with the video and the pot smoking and so forth. I predict, Ray, that there will be a bong that will come out this year with the Olympic logo on the front.
Yeah, that'll
happen. This is just a prediction.
Sure. Okay.
But we'll see what happens there.
Hey,
you know, John,
That's good.
As executive creative director of Threshold, an interactive agency, you know, we hear the internet is a challenging to build a brand more desirable by direct response advertisers and advertisers that just really have something that a consumer can make a quick purchase on, et cetera. But as an expert in social media, clients, I'm sure, often come to you to use social media and look for various ways to leverage their brand to various social platforms, et cetera. What can you tell us about some of the ways that you guys at Threshold go about it? And in particular, I know some of your strategy is to create advocates or brand advocates, as you call it, and other strategies that you guys provide your clients. Share with our audience, if you will, some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, great. You know, social media is a broad term, and it gets thrown around a lot. It really stands for a lot of different things. But you know, blogs, user-generated content and video, things like Twitter, ways that people stay connected. Really, all these different digital tools that people stay connected with one another, express themselves. They're all part of this social media sphere, and you know, for us, when working with brands, working with our clients, you know, there's not one fit that really ever makes sense for one brand versus the other.
Right.
With social media, it's really about finding the areas that your brand occupies that are going to get people excited and something that's going to make sense for them to talk about, to share. In some cases, we have we've reached out pretty effectively to moms online through social media outreach, and you know, it's interesting. You don't normally, maybe not normally, think of it, but 87% of moms read blogs.
Hmm.
You know, 71% of moms use the internet to get more product information. They're really interested in finding out if what products claim are true and if they're right for their kids, and they want to find out a lot of information. So you get a lot of moms seeking out stuff, and it's a great opportunity to utilize blogs and utilize other places to perhaps distribute information or get consumers excited about a product or a service. But there's only so much control you have. So I think the first thing that advertisers and, you know, brand marketers need to think about are, you know, once you put yourself out there, can your product, can your brand, can your service really stand behind what it is you want them to talk about? Because once you set it free out there, you know, it's up to people to share it, to talk about it, and kind of put their own spin on it. You know, in other cases, we've had a lot of success using brands as a vehicle for entertainment when that brand really, I think, has the credibility to go there. The one example is Nestle Butterfinger. With Butterfinger and with its legacy going back to The Simpsons, as a brand, it really kind of has an irreverent quality and seems to really appeal to you know, to young audiences, especially young male audiences. You know, our target on that is a 24-year-old male, a guy that's kind of got one foot in the frat house and one foot in the workplace. And they feel, and we've gotten a lot of feedback, they feel it's okay for a brand like Butterfinger to be irreverent, to have fun with content online. And we've had a lot of success launching user-generated content contests and getting the audience involved in developing our media and developing our content. We're the first brand to do it with Nestle. We launched the first branded YouTube channel on YouTube. I think the Butterfinger channel opened the same day as Paris Hilton on YouTube.
Wow.
Which was fun company to keep.
Yeah,
but,
really.
but on MySpace early on when we first went there with Butterfinger, we created a whole bunch of really non-branded or very low-branded videos that were compelling that we really wanted people to follow. It as part of a campaign called Follow the Finger. And there was a new brand icon that that was developed by J. Walter Thompson. And, you know, it was our role to really go out there and get people to embrace this in the digital world. And we created a really fun campaign that, you know, we had a guy in a bear suit with a Follow the Finger t-shirt on go into public places and start dancing. and they were timely, they were fun, and they were spread around MySpace in an amazing volume. And we had about 60,000 friends of the finger within about a month.
Wow.
On MySpace, because the content in the context was really relevant for who we were talking to, and people discovered that it was connected to Butterfinger on their own. That took some, you know, it took some cojones on the part of the brand to take that leap and hope without sticking their brand all over, you know, all over the heads and the tails of this video, that the consumers would say, this is cool, I like it, and take the time to figure out what it connected to and say, okay, that makes sense. And we got that feedback through, you know, through the work that we did on MySpace and through our own community. They let us know that they were happy with the way that the brand was coming to life.
So legendary then, John, what you're saying is we're giving the world the finger rather than Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Something like that. Executive Creative Director, Threshold Interactive, here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. We'll be back with more with John in just a moment. Stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Our special guest this weekend, John Montgomery, who is the Executive Creative Director at Threshold Interactive out of California, Culver City, California. Isn't that like a movie place, John, or something like that? Or
it is. You know, I think on our street we've got the production offices for Entourage. Our next door neighbor is Ed Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And right down the street are the Smashbox Studios, where all the stars come down to watch the fashion shows and at Fashion Week. So
you forgot to mention Girls Gone Wild. Their studios are there too, right?
Yeah. I have no idea about that.
Of course you don't. Yeah, deny that, John. Anyway, good to have you here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, you just described John's staff there, Ray. I think.
Yeah, right.
You mentioned user-generated content, UGC, and I imagine a lot of people get nervous when they, a lot of advertisers and brand managers get nervous when they hear the term user-generated content. And I think we hearken back to the days when I guess it was General Motors had a bit of a challenge with deciding to turn loose consumers on creating ads for one of their product lines. So are there issues or challenges when it comes to controlling the message with UGC, John?
Yeah, there are. I think, you know, I think, one, a brand has to have a certain amount of confidence. And also, from our point of view, we always feel that if we're going to do any sort of program that hands over the keys to consumers to play with it, that we've got to do our own job and our own work to make sure that people are staying within at least a certain zone that fulfills the goals that we're looking for. So whenever we do a contest, we'll create kind of the seed or the inspiration video for the work we're doing there that really sets up the tone and the challenge of what this is about. And the more focused we get, the better results that we have, because we found that consumers don't really mind. They kind of understand what the gig is about. They really don't mind working with brands. In fact, depending on what the brand is and how it's used, they feel empowered by it. As long as you give them the zone and the channel to work within and make that clear, we find that we don't really have too many issues. There are times where in the past when we first got into it, we stayed a little bit vague. You know, send us in your video of what this brand means to you.
Yeah.
And that can go all sorts of places, and you end up, quite honestly, getting a lot of mediocre response back as well. So from that point of view, I think just like you know, I would do with my own creative team, developing the brief, developing the story, and getting people inspired. That's still the job of the brand and the agency to do, even when you're turning over those keys to the consumers.
Yeah, you mentioned last segment using existing social networks like MySpace and Facebook. And, you know, let's imagine a brand manager listening in is thinking in terms of targeting the mommy community that you mentioned earlier. How does a person determine whether they need to create their own online community versus using an existing social network?
That's a really good question. It's something that we talk with our clients about quite a bit. There are some factors that we really look at in terms of whether or not you should be building your own community or taking part in an existing community. Building a community, from scratch is a lot of work. It takes a serious amount of money, and it takes a lot of commitment. To really create a vibrant community, you really need a passionate audience base around a certain subject matter. Now, if you look at the MySpaces of the world, which are really kind of, although MySpace started in the world of music, it's really just kind of broadened even to the fact where actually if you want to reach moms, you're more likely to find them on MySpace than you're going to find a youth audience on MySpace these days in terms of the percentages and numbers. But as an example, we work with a concert or music festival called Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo has a very passionate user base. They come to their shows. 80,000 people trek all the way out to the remote lands of Tennessee to see their shows. They stay for 4 days. They camp out. They share. They love music. They're passionate about it. And with Bonnaroo, we found that they had major amounts of traffic coming to their to their site a few times a year to check in on the show, buy tickets. They're very passionate, and Bonnaroo had a phenomenal amount of content, a way to fuel the community, and give them exclusive content, get them involved, and share things with them that really got people excited to share with each other, to join, to get involved. When you have certain things like content, passionate audience base, a good source of base traffic, those might be the indicators to say, okay, it might make sense to actually develop a community around it. If you don't have those things, like a brand like Butterfinger, like we talked about before, there are millions, hundreds of millions of people using social networks. It makes more sense to reach out and to create programs and develop things where people are, as opposed to trying to drive people other places.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's stop there for just a moment, John, and take a break here. John Montgomery is our special guest here today on the Advertising Show. Executive Creative Director, Threshold Interactive. ThresholdInteractive.com is the website, with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsythe on the Advertising Show. And more with John in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age. And also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind, what you're hoping to find.
Welcome back, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show with John Montgomery out of Culver City, California. John is Executive Creative Director of Threshold Interactive, thresholdinteractive.com, the website, for one final segment here. John, welcome back.
Good to be here.
John, I don't want to spend a lot of time with it, but just very briefly to follow up on what you were talking about as far as building your own community, taking a great deal of dollars investment with for a client, yet obviously a wonderful platform if you can successfully launch something like that and has huge brand value and brand equity. I would imagine you have to sometimes deal with client egos where their brand may not be a butterfinger, but yet they want their own community and they do not see what you're saying in terms of taking advantage of existing social platforms, and they want their own social community, and they're letting their ego get in the way. Do you have to deal with that from time to time?
Yeah, we do. I'll tell you the one thing that usually cuts through the ego pretty quickly is when they see the price tag of what it costs to develop and maintain your own community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That usually puts it back in perspective.
Yeah. What's a ballpark on that, John?
Oh, you know, if you really want to develop a community that has some long-term staying power, you are in the lower half of the six figures to just get the ball rolling in terms of just getting the technology up and running, and then you're looking, you know, depending on the size of the company and what you're trying to do, but you really got to make multi-million-dollar, multi-year commitments to empowering that community, facilitating what we call an adoption strategy, a way for people to adopt that community into their digital lifestyle. And it's driven by events. It's driven by activity. And unless you have a very unique product where people are just going to create all those activities around it, which could be the place, for the most part, the brand, it usually falls on the brand to develop that content and those activities and events to continue to fuel interest in the community. You know, it's a short attention span, the world that we're dealing with out there. So what seemed interesting today is going to seem pretty boring tomorrow.
Yeah. Threshold does work for certainly well-known brands like Sony, Fox, Disney, Interactive, Nestle, just to mention a few. I'm going to give you an opportunity in this last segment to brag a little bit about some of the examples of your standout work for 08 that you're most proud of. Obviously, talked a little bit about Follow the Finger, which is one example. And also, if you can, share with our audience maybe some work that you're doing now that we'd expect to see on into 09.
Yeah, there are a few very exciting things we worked on over the last year. A few in particular. One, I mentioned we launched the Bonnaroo community and the new Bonnaroo website. And what's interesting about that is we are taking what was a four-day festival and we're turning it into a 365-day-a-year online entertainment, music and entertainment.
Smart.
Resource, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. We launched a global technology platform for Sony, which I can't get into a lot of detail on, but we actually opened up a lot of new revenue streams for them and consolidated the way that they distribute and publish their websites around the world, which was, you know, very interesting and rich project. And also we launched a great site aimed at kids with Space Chimps, the movie that came out this last year, and developed a lot of really fun, interactive, games and stuff that really reached out to kids, the tween market and, pre-tweens. In terms of what's coming up, there's a very exciting project we're working on right now with Fox, where we are leveraging all those media touch points, social networks, to create a 360-degree show, a show that they're launching this coming up this year that fiction is going to come to life across the web and across mobile and a lot of other channels, and that for us is a very exciting growth.
A lot of good things that you're into, John, and you've done already. Continued success, and thanks again for taking time out of your weekend to be with us here at the Advertising Show.
I appreciate it. It was fun.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe. We've got more to come. Stay with us.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
John Montgomery, our special guest here on The Advertising Show today, almost as entertaining as Elizabeth Montgomery, although not as pretty, and he doesn't do that thing with his nose. Founder and executive creative director of Threshold Interactive. You can find out more at thresholdinteractive.com, by the way, if we didn't tell you that. A favorite that we've had on the show several times. As a matter of fact, we make a slot for Alex Ben Block. He's got a parking lot spot out back, too, as well. He's the editor-at-large at Hollywood Reporter, and always an incredible amount of information comes out of Alex. I don't know how he does it, but we're always happy to have him on. That'll be next weekend here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. I know you're not the biggest fan of cinema advertising, Brad, but apparently
no.
Nissan, Kia, basically what they're saying is print and television advertisers may be feeling the pain of lost auto ad dollars, but it's a growing category for cinema. When it comes to new launches, auto companies increasingly turning to the silver screen. Silver screen. As a primary medium in April, May, Nissan returning to a cinema advertising campaign, 60-second showcase of the 09 370Z. Boy, that's got to be fast. Also, through March, Kia, a steady cinema advertiser since 05, will use theater screens to launch Soul, its new hatchback. I've seen that, too. That's kind of cool. So National CineMedia is the place that does all that. And it's an interesting thing, trying to get ads into cinema. It's not as easy as just calling up and saying, hey, I'd like my ad to run here. Remember, we did an ad one time, a 5.1 surround ad, and they couldn't figure out how to plug it in. It's like, no, it works. It's 5.1, and it should be just fine. But anyway, we've done some. And I know I don't know whether you guys have as well, but it's interesting to see that automotive is going away from print and TV.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I'm sure the factory is thinking they can offer their local advertisers an opportunity in the area to advertise to their community.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, of course, buy cars near where they live or work. So,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
It's a local angle to all that. But no, you know, I guess in a movie quick enough to early enough to see the stream of commercials. Frankly, I watch a lot of movies online as well as,
movies on demand and, you know, stuff.
Yeah, demand, exactly.
I haven't been to a theater in a long time, and I really enjoy the experience of just being at home and watching there. So I won't see those car commercials unless they put them in the, in the DVDs or the on-demand stuff that you get. But who knows? That won't be an impossibility as well. Hey, we got to take a break here, Brad, for Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, and what she's talking about. And this is important. Talking about gossip online. What is that all about? Let's listen.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Journalistic integrity and social media have not been great bedfellows. The integrity we attributed to print journalism somehow was immediately transferred to the internet, simply because it was published and looked professional. It never really sunk in that the web is a totally unfiltered platform for any disenfranchised human with internet access. Reputations can be damaged and even destroyed with a few mouse clicks. For our clients, the biggest threat is the web hoax. Emails calling for boycotts of a product for unfounded reasons, forwarded messages that look like personal emails from a distraught mother whose child ate tainted food at your client's QSR, or the blogger reviews that claim your product is shoddy, doesn't perform as expected, contains dangerous ingredients, and so on. What should you do if your client is the victim of a hoax or malicious rumor? Research. Conduct internal and external audits to determine the prevalence of the hoax. It is critical to determine if the rumor is gaining or losing momentum. Conduct an external audit of web prevalence and use specific tools to calculate response. Google Blog Search, Technorati, and Blog Pulse can be used to audit websites, blogs, forums, comment threads, and other online destinations. Create a list of the sites commenting on the hoax for you to use to gauge your results as you endeavor to get the post corrected or changed, and identify new places the misinformation pops up. Internal audit. Work with your client's customer relations management to develop a system to track incoming inquiries about the hoax from consumers and from the media, and create a strategy. A hoax-busting strategy can include an all-out blanketing, a quick response posted on your website, or even nothing at all. Not every piece of negative information warrants an online response, which can bring more attention to a matter than may die naturally. Your analysis through suggested audits will dictate your next steps, ranging from web-based responses, enlisting employee advocates, developing a strong media response, creating a consumer response, or creating a truce squad that hits all the hoax-busting sites like Snopes.com, Hoaxslayer.com, and Truthification.com.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Well, talk about a problem there, gossip online, how to manage it. Thank you, Shamin, for that piece. Always enjoy the stuff that comes our way from your organization as well, our Activist for Excellence here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Thanks again to John Montgomery, founder and executive creative director of Threshold Interactive. Once again, it's thresholdinteractive.com. Long title, but easy to remember, right? Next week, yeah. Alex Ben Block, the editor-at-large at The Hollywood Reporter, will be our guest here at the Advertising Show. We got about a minute before, or a couple minutes before we got to close the show.
Well, real quickly, the recent publication of the 09 swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated expanded into a realm of event marketing, Ray, which I thought was pretty cool. It started with a New York to Las Vegas trip for magazine models, as well as corporate sponsors, clients, etc. And the interesting angle about this is that Southwest was used as their airline, the Boeing 737, which was wrapped in a large image of one of the models. No mention of enlarging the headlights on the wings, by the way, Ray. The wrapped plane will continue its service for 60 days after the Vegas flight, and I thought it was interesting that they put this thing together. It's called experiential marketing, and a good idea, I guess, for Sports Illustrated to get a little more mileage out of that swimsuit edition.
It's a great idea. And leave it to Southwest. All of those other airlines are going, well, should we take away the peanuts or not? You know, and then of course there's the incredible captain of what was it? Was it Air? No, it wasn't
US.
US Air. Yeah, which has not been known to be the most safe airline in the past. It used to be called Allegheny, and they would frequently lose engine over the Pennsylvania mountains. I'm told it's firsthand by a pilot from Allegheny. But US Air, and this guy is a hero. My God, he was at the inauguration. And what he did, by the way, speaking as a fellow pilot, he did the impossible. He did everything so perfect that I doubt he could do it again, and I hope he never has to. But if I've got to fly somewhere, I want him flying up front. What a guy. Yeah. What a guy. Yeah. My hero. Alex Ben Block next week at the advertising show, and a lot more to come, too. Stay with us. Well, actually, don't stay with us because we're about to wrap this up. The advertising show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The advertising show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production.